Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to say good afternoon to each and every one of you. This is Pastor Mike Beebe, the Ministry Evangelist of the Golgotha Church of Christ here in Chicago, Illinois. And just excited to be with you again today. I hope your weekend has been wonderful. God has done some marvelous things with you. We have been in the midst of a study of dealing with anger. And we've talked about last week where we dealt with zeal on Monday, and Tuesday we dealt with confronting your anger and being able to control your anger. Then on Tuesday and then Wednesday and Thursday, we started a series on divine anger. Does God get mad? Well, today is part three of that series of divine anger. Does God get mad? And when we left off, we were dealing with Cain and Abel and how Cain felt that he was out of touch based on the fact that he would be killed if someone saw him because he had killed his brother and God had given him punishment. And so God showed him grace and mercy in spite of and put a mark on him and said if anybody kills Cain, that he would have to deal with God. And so what we've seen here is we see the picking up of a ungodly line of people that are starting to multiply and that are starting to grow on the earth. We also are going to see a godly line where God, his plan is not thwarted just because of what Cain did and took Abel out, but we will see that God will send another male child through Adam and Eve, whose name is Seth, and that will begin a new godly line. So now you will have an ungodly line living on the earth and populating, and you will also have a godly line that's living on the earth and populating. Let's get to the scriptures as we left off dealing with Cain and Abel. And we will start now in the 25th verse of the book of Genesis chapter 4. Matter of fact, no, let's start at verse number 17, Genesis 4, 17. After we left off with Cain and the Lord giving Cain jurisdiction and giving him judgment and calling him a nomad and sending him into the land of Nod, which is east of Eden. Beginning in verse 17 of the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, the Bible says, Cain was intimate with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. Then Cain became the builder of a city and named the city Enoch after his son. Ired was born to Enoch. Ired fathered Mahujael. Mahujael fathered Methushael. Methushael fathered Lamech. Lamech took two wives for himself, one named Ada and the other named Zillah. Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of nomadic herdsmen, cowboys. And his brother was named Jubal. He was the father who all played the lyre and the flute, musicians. So Zillah, the other wife, bore Tubal Cain, who made all kinds of bronze and iron tools. Tubal Cain's sister was Naamah. And Lamech said to his two wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, wives of Lamech. Pay attention to my words, for I killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain is to be avenged seven times over, then for Lamech it will be 77 times. But it's apparent that even through the years of time, that it was passed down, and why they were dealing with what they were dealing with and living the way they were living, they understood that the disobedience of Cain and why judgment had been brought upon Cain. So Lamech says if Cain got seven times avenged judgment, then 77 times would be for Lamech. Verse number 25. Adam was intimate with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. And she said, God has given me another child in place of Abel. One thing about Eve As we're seeing now, Razib is very pleased with the fact that through all this intensified childbearing pain, remembering what took place in the Garden of Eden, that she remembers that it's God's, only with God's help, that she can make it through this kind of strenuous pain and still live. She never had this before, but she knows it now based on the fact that she's had three male children, and these three male children have reminded her of that very decision. A son was born to Seth also. Let's go back to verse 25. Adam was with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, for she said, God has given me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him. Yes. And then verse number 26, a son was born to Seth also, and his name was Enosh. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord, or call on the name of Yahweh, call on the name of God. So now all of a sudden you have a godly line of people that are now starting to populate on the earth, and you have an ungodly line. Cain's line is the ungodly line, and Seth's line will be the godly line. Well, let's look at this offspring. Let's look at this, the progeny of Seth's line. Chapter 5. These are the family records of the descendants of Adam. On the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. So Adam was made in the likeness, Adam and Eve was made in the likeness of God. And he created them male and female. When they were created, he blessed them and called them man. So innocent, with no problems, no sins, they were created in the likeness of God. Let's look at verse 3. Adam was 130 years when he fathered his son in his likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. Adam lived 800 years after the birth of Seth, and he fathered other sons and daughters. So Adam's line lasted 930 years, and he died. So now Adam birthed Seth, but Adam is now changed based off the sin contamination. Adam is now not the same Adam that was created in the likeness of God. He's now created within the contamination of death, decay that's in his system. So Seth was 105 years old when he fathered Enosh. Seth lived 807 years after the birth of Enosh, and he fathered other sons and daughters. So Seth's life lasted 912 years, then he died. Enosh was 90 years old when he fathered Kenan. Enosh lived 815 years after the birth of Kenan, and he fathered other sons and daughters. And Enosh's life lasted 905 years, then he died. Kenan was 70 years old when he fathered Mahalalel. Kenan lived 830 years after the birth of Mahalalel, and he fathered other sons and daughters. So Kenan's life was 910 years, then he died. Mahalalel was 65 years old when he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived 830 years after the birth of Jared, and he fathered other sons and daughters. So Mahalalel, life was 895 years, then he died. Jared was 162 years old when he fathered Enoch. Jared is 800 years after the birth of Enoch, and he fathered other sons and daughters. So Jared's life lasted 962 years, then he died. Enoch was 65 years old when he fathered Methuselah. And after the birth of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and fathered other sons and daughters. So Enoch's life lasted 365 years. Enoch walked with God, but he was not there because God took him. So Enoch didn't die. God took him. Methuselah was 187 years old when he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived 782 years after the birth of Lamech, and he fathered other sons and daughters. So Methuselah's life was 969 years old. Then he died, the oldest man to live on this earth, was 969 years old, which was named was Methuselah. Lamech was 182 years old when he fathered a son, and he named him Noah, saying, "This one will bring us relief from the agonizing labor of our hands, caused by the ground the Lord has cursed." Lamech lived 595 years after Noah's birth. Lamech lived 595 years after Noah's birth, and he fathered other sons and daughters. So Lamech's life was 777 years, then he died. Noah was 500 years old, and he fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. What have we found out so far? Well, we see that there's a godly line, and we see that there's an ungodly line. We also notice the fact that in both lines, you have an Enoch, and in both lines, you have a Lamech. So it's good to know that there's a difference between the Lamech of Cain's line, the ungodly line, and the Lamech of Seth's line, because it's the Lamech of Seth's line that brings forth Noah, right? But it's not the Lamech of Cain's line that has Noah. So you have this ungodly line where the Lamech of Cain's line had two wives. That's where polygamy comes into place. All of a sudden now you need more than one. The flesh will continue to crave more than one. And we see a progression that's going to begin. And we're definitely going to see that here in the sixth chapter as they begin to multiply. And it's something very interesting because when Adam and Eve was created in the image of God, they was created to live in the likeness of God forever without sin. It was this decision that was made in the third chapter that they had to leave the Garden of Eden, because it was not only punishment, but it was provision for man that they could not live in sin and eat of the tree of life and live forever in sin. So now Seth and everyone else that's coming into life is now experiencing death based off of what took place in Genesis 3. There was no dying. There was no decay prior to that. But the disobedience of God and the decay that takes place, God curses the land for Adam. We see that all this difficulty, all of this tough problems that are coming into play, all of the stress that they have to go through is because of one decision, one bad decision that was made that contaminated the entire fleet of mankind from that point forward. It's going to take Jesus in the incarnated sense to give us back our innocence, although man will continue to deal with the consequence of decay. Sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. Remember, the subject matter is divine anger. Does God get mad? Let's see. When mankind began to multiply on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of mankind were beautiful. Any they chose as wives for themselves. Now, all of a sudden, you had a separation first of the godly line and the ungodly line, keeping the godly line pure and the ungodly line being what it is going to be. Now you see, based off of the lust of the eyes being open and beauty taking over, that now, for some reason, this lust is so craving that now you have to have. And so they saw the line of Cain as they're multiplying on earth together, and they chose wives as many as they wanted for themselves. And the Lord saw this, and it bothered God. Let's keep reading. The Lord God said, "My spirit will not remain with mankind forever, because they are corrupt. When corruption came on the scene, you no longer was 100% what God was about. Now all of a sudden there's a contamination in mankind. Although God loved mankind, the crown of man's of God's creation. However, now man is corrupt. There is a sense of cancer. A sin is a cancer in man's life. So it says, man will not remain. My spirit will not remain with man forever because they are corrupt. He said the days will be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth both in those days and afterwards. When the sons of God came and the daughters of mankind, when the sons of God came to the daughters of mankind who bore children to them, they were the powerful men of old, the famous men. So what we see here is that although they could listen on earth in two different segments based on the fact that you had the godly line and the ungodly line, and they were not really living together, but all of a sudden, because of wickedness and corruption, the barriers now have broken down. What you see seems to now override, and it has mankind in a place where man can't seem to control himself. And so now it seems to be more positive or more interesting to man to follow after beauty than to keep the line pure. The problem with that is the same thing that took place in the Garden of Eden. Although Eve knew the problem, Adam knew the problem, what they saw became the problem. And so they got caught up in beauty and look, and they did not know what was going to take place on the other side, based on the fact that they never had to experience that before. Hindsight is 2020. If they could go back now and change that decision, what do you think they would do? Well, my position would be they would run at it faster than a moving locomotive. Why is that? Because the pains that Eve has had to experience now through childbearing that she never experienced before is enough for her to say, no, let's stay this way like we need to. The difficulty of Adam having to now make a meager living through stress and sweat of his brow, and also seeing that be part of his children's life was more than he could shake a stick at. So you would see that it would be more interesting and be more and make more sense for them to keep the lines pure and not do that decision. Well, now, because of that decision, you don't know how when sin starts, it starts as a spider's web, real thin, comes in small, but eventually becomes a ship's rope. Now you have a multiplicity of people that have populated the earth that are now, because of that one decision, that seed has grown into a big tree, and people are taking folks from based off of what they look like, not based off of what is in their midst. So they chose wives of themselves, whoever they wanted to be. And they intermingled with the ungodly line. And they had children by that. When you start intermingling and you're having children, there is contamination in the hybrid sense that has taken place. The line is no longer pure, it has been cut, and all kinds of issues and problems will begin to take place. God views this. His spirit says, my spirit will not remain with mankind forever because they are corrupt. God is not corrupt, but man is corrupt. So he says, I'm going to put a decree out in 120 years. So now the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, or your translation may say the giants are on the earth in those days. And afterward, when the sons of God and the daughters of mankind who bore children to them, they were the powerful men of old and the famous men. When the Lord saw, verse 5 of chapter 6, when the Lord saw that man's wickedness was widespread on the earth, and that every scheme his mind thought of was nothing but evil at the time. Do you see what contamination and corruption will do? It will take your mind off of being clear, and be not necessarily being clear, but take your mind off of godliness, that every thought now that you have made becomes evil all the time. There are no more pure thoughts. There are no more clear thoughts. There are no more godly thoughts. Everything is evil all the time. You can imagine how that will have an effect on God. God not only saw this, but the Lord not only saw this, but now the Lord is actually experiencing it. And it said the Lord regretted, or the Lord repented, that he had made man on the earth. God was so upset that it hurt him so deeply in his heart that he wished he had not even made man on the earth. And he was grieved in his heart. Does God have a heart? Does God have a mind? Well, we're made in the image, and we have one. God has one as well. And you can grieve the Spirit of God, and you can grieve God all together. God's hurting. God's experiencing what he never wanted to take place. Then the Lord said, notice what happens when God gets angry. Then the Lord said, here's the decree, I will wipe off from the face of the earth mankind whom I created, together with the animals, creatures that crawl, and birds of the sky. For I regret that I made them. Anything that has anything to do with this earth, God was going to get rid of. He was going to wipe the slate clean. He had regretted that he made man, and he repented that he made man. Time to do something else. But he said, under Seth's line, Noah, who was born to Lamech. Noah, who was 500 years old, the father Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The Bible says Noah, however, found favor in the sight of the Lord. That's in the midst of devastation. God has put forth the dismantling decree, but now Noah has found favor in God's eyesight. And so God is going to wipe the earth clean. Still, has some grace and mercy for Noah. Let's keep reading. These are the family records of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among his contemporaries. Noah walked with God. First time we hear that after Enoch walked with God. And Noah fathered three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with wickedness. God saw how corrupt the earth was, for every creature had corrupted its way on the earth. Then God said to Noah, I have decided to put an end to every creature, for the earth is filled with wickedness because of them. Therefore, I am going to destroy them along with the earth. God has made it from all these animals after their kind. But corruption is coming to the place, and just like with the human beings, where they started to cross the ungodly line with the godly line and have babies, and God looked at that as wickedness, now all of a sudden the animals are crossbreeding as well. And God is looking at that as wickedness. And so God is going to take, and he says that even every creature had corrupted its way on the earth. So God said to Noah, I have decided to put an end to every creature. Is God mad? Does God get angry? God is now decreeing and acting on his anger. When God gets angry, he's going to do something about it. God's long-suffering, hoping that we will get it right. But when we don't get it right, after a while, God gets tired. And when God gets tired, God moves in a manner that you would not be pleased with. God said, no, I have decided to put an end to every creature, for the earth is filled with wickedness because of them. Therefore, I am going to destroy them along with the earth. God will wipe out every wicked man and woman. He's going to wipe out every wicked creature. God is getting ready to do something beyond understanding. What we see here is God's decree. We see God's grieving. And now we're going to see how God is going to do what he said he's going to do. God decreed it, but it's going to take a while before he actually puts it in place. But guess what? Once God has said it, we cannot go back and get it. He tells Noah, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it with pitch, which is a slime base, inside and out. This is how you are to make it. And he gave him direct instructions. The ark will be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. You are to make a roof, finishing the sides of the ark to 18 inches of the roof. You are to put a door in the side of the ark, make it with lower, middle, and upper decks. Understand that I am bringing a flood. Flood waters on the earth to destroy every creature under heaven with the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will die, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark with your sons, your wife, your sons' wives. You are also to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of everything, from the birds according to their kind, from the livestock according to their kind, and from the animals after their kind, will come to you so that you can keep them alive. Take with you every kind of food that is eaten. Gather it as food for you and for them. And Noah did this. He did everything that God had commanded. Do you understand the importance of obedience? Even God is upset. God is angry. God has decreed. But just because everything else is about to be topsy-turvy, you can still have favor with God by obeying God to the letter and doing what God needs done, because God still needs representatives on this earth. That pleases God. Let's look at chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, and all your household, for I have seen that you are alone, that you alone are righteous before me in this generation. Out of the multiplicity of billions of people, The only one that found favor in the eyesight of God was Noah. God said, bring your family, you, your three sons, your wife and your wives, and your sons' wives, eight souls. 120 years has passed. Noah has finished the ark. He has created the door, the three levels, the one window. And now God says, enter the ark, Noah. You are your household, for I've seen that you alone are righteous before me in this generation. You are to take with you seven pairs, a male and a female, of all the clean animals. Seven pairs. The number seven is the number of completion. And so take in seven pairs, seven male and seven female, of all clean animals, and two of the animals that are not clean, a male and its female, and seven pairs, male and female, of the birds of the sky, in order to keep offspring alive in the face, on the face of the whole earth. 7 days from now, I will make it rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Noah had never knew what rain was. It did not matter because he spent years building this boat. And it wasn't something elaborate. It was to the specifications of God. And it was the only purpose of the ark was to keep folks safe in the midst of a storm. The purpose of the ark is to keep folks safe in the midst of a storm. God is angry, and now God is working out his plan. 40 days and 40 nights I will wipe off from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. And Noah did everything that the Lord had commanded. Verse 6. Noah was 600 years old when the flood came. And water covered the earth. So Noah, his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives entered the ark because of the waters of the flood. Only eight souls. Noah, Sister Noah, Shem, Sister Shem, Ham, Sister Ham, Japheth, Sister Japheth. God didn't want us to know the names of the wives. That was not important. But they did have wives. It was a male and a female of all kinds. So from the clean animals, the unclean animals, birds, and every creature that crawls on the earth, two of each, male and female, entered the ark with Noah, just as God had commanded him. 7 days later, the waters of the flood came on the earth. Can you imagine with this, all these people, and here comes water from heaven that they've never experienced all their life. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month of the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the sources of the watery depths burst open. The floodgates of the sky were opened. And the water fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. God's called it the rain. He opens up the depths below. And the water now starts to come on the ground and rise. On the same day, Noah along with his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's wife, and the three sons arrived into the ark with him. They entered it with all the wildlife according to their kinds, all livestock according to their kinds, the creatures that crawl on the earth according to their kinds, all birds, every fowl, and everything with wings according to their kinds, two of all flesh that has the breath of life in it, entered the ark with Noah. Those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, into just as God had commanded him. Then the Lord shut him in. Why was it important that God close the door? Because you have relatives, those other folk. Humanity is very empathetic. You may have had an opportunity to disobey God as they did in the Garden of Eden. God's plan was not going to be thwarted. So God said, at this point in time, you enter the ark, I close the door. The flood continued for 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and lifted up the ark so that it rose above the earth. Can you imagine this big boat? This huge boat that was almost more than four football fields long, 75 feet in width, 45 feet in height. Can you imagine how massive this boat is? No spectacular scientific submarine. All this boat did was go from where it signed, and he put together. He pitched it out, he pitched it in, and therefore it would not populate with water. This boat is now lifting up on the earth. As the waters increased, it continued to get higher and higher. Can you see the water going up the tree barks, beginning to reach the leaves, and then cover the leaves? It rose above the earth. The water surged and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. Then the water surged even higher on the earth, and all the mountains under the whole sky were covered. The mountains were covered as the water surged above them more than 20 feet. Every creature perished. Those that crawl on the earth, birds, livestock, wildlife, and those that swarm on the earth, as well as all mankind, everything with the breath of the spirit of life in his nostrils. Everything on dry land died. God wiped out every living thing that was on the surface of the ground, from mankind to livestock, to creatures that crawl, to the birds of the sky, and they were wiped off the earth. Only Noah was left, and those that were with him in the ark, and the waters surged on the earth for 150 days. It's interesting how this water is so high, 18 cubits over the top of the mountain, the highest mountain. And all you see is the ark floating on the water. Sun is coming up. Sun is going down. Just all you see is a boat on water. 150 days. All you see is a boat on water. Chapter 8, God remembered Noah as well as all the wildlife and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. God caused the wind to pass over the earth, and the water began to subside. When God gets angry, God wipes out clean. Nothing that had breath in his nostrils was alive any longer. The sources of the waters, watery depths, and the floodgates of the sky were closed, and the rain from the sky stopped. The water steadily receded from the earth, and by the end of 150 more days, the water had decreased significantly. The ark came to rest in the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month, in the mountains of Ararat. That would be Turkey in today's time. And there's proof that you can go to Turkey and you will be able to see that there is, you can see Noah's ark that says historical fact. The waters continue to recede until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were visible. Waters are now coming down. Depths have now closed up. Water is now starting to recede. Now you're seeing the tops of the mountains. After 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had laid, and he sent out a raven. And it went back and forth until the waters had dried up on the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see whether the water on the earth's surface had gone down. But the dove found no resting place for her foot. So she returned to him in the ark because water covered the surface of the whole earth. He reached out and brought her into the ark to himself. So Noah waited 7 more days and sent out the dove from the ark again. When the dove came to him that evening, there was a plucked olive leaf in her beak. So Noah knew that the water of the earth's surface had gone down. After he had waited another 7 days, he sent out the dove, but she did not return to him again. In the 600th and first year, the first month of the first day of the earth, first day of the month, the water that had covered the earth was dried up. Then Noah removed the ark's cover and saw the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Then God spoke to Noah, "Come out of the ark. You, your wife, your sons, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out all the living creatures that are with you, birds, livestock, those that crawl on the ground, and they that spread over the earth, and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So God is now giving them a command again to repopulate the earth. All the livestock, all the birds, all that crawl on the ground. Noah, his wife, Shem, his wife, Ham, his wife, Japheth, his wife, have now been commanded to repopulate this earth. Interesting. When God gets mad, God may start completely over. Wipe you out and make somebody look just like you. So Noah, after receiving the command, along with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives came out. There's obedience again. All wildlife, all livestock, every bird and every creature that crawls on the earth came out of the ark by their groups. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. He took some of every kind of clean animal and every kind of clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Isn't that a beautiful thing? When God brings you through, when God singles you out, and you see you showing up those as a blessing, it's time to build your altar. It's time to worship God. Noah knew because he walked with God. He's now back on dry ground, so he builds an altar. And he took some of every clean animal, some of every clean bird, and offered burnt offering, sacrifice on this altar for God. Water is a cleansing agent. Water can get to the nitty-gritty. When the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma of the burnt offerings, he said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of man. Even though man's inclination is evil from his youth, I will never again strike down every living creature as I have done. God now changes his decree and makes sure that it will not have to be done again. As long as the earth endures, there will be seed time and harvest. There'll be cold and heat. There'll be summer and winter. And there'll be day and night. As long as the earth endures, this will not cease. Isn't it interesting? It doesn't say fall, and it doesn't say spring. Sometimes all we can see is two seasons. God bless Noah and his sons. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. He's wiped all the wicked folk out. Now you got eight souls. Start over again. Fill the earth. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear and terror of you will be in every living creature on the earth. Every bird of the sky, every creature that crawls on the ground, and all the fish of the sea, they are placed under your authority. Every living creature will be food for you. As I gave the green plants, I have given you everything. However, you must not eat meat with its lifeblood in it. I will require the life of every animal and every man of your life. And your blood. I will require the life of each man's brother for a man's life. Whoever sheds man's blood, his blood will be shed by man. For God made man in his image. But you, be fruitful and multiply. Spread out over the earth. And multiply on it. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, understand that I am confirming my covenant with you and your descendants after you and with every living creature that is with you, birds, livestock, and all wildlife on the earth that are with you. All the animals of the earth that came out of the ark, I confirm my covenant with you, that never again will every creature be wiped out by the waters of the flood. There will never again be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a sign of my covenant. I am making between me and you and every living creature with you a covenant for all future generations. I have placed my bow, that's the rainbow, in the clouds. And it will be a sign of my covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I form clouds over the earth and the bow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all the living creatures. Water will never again become a flood to destroy every creature. The bow, the rainbow, will be in the clouds. And I will look at it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all the living creatures on earth. God said to Noah, this is a sign of the covenant that I have confirmed between me and every creature on earth. Noah's sons who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. which would have been Noah's grandson. These three were Noah's sons, and from them the whole earth was populated. Noah, a man of the soil, was the first to plant a vineyard. He drank some of the wine, became drunk, and uncovered himself inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked and told his two brothers outside. Then Shem and Japheth took a cloak and placed it over both their shoulders, and walking backwards, they covered their father's nakedness. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his drinking and learned that his youngest son had done to, what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Canaan will be cursed. Your son will be cursed." So the curse was not on Ham. The curse was on Ham's son, Canaan. He will be the lowest of slaves to his brothers. He also said, "Praise the Lord, the God of Shem. Canaan will be his slave. God will extend Japheth, and he will dwell in tents of Shem. Canaan will be his slave." Now Noah lived 350 years after the flood. So Noah's life lasted 950 years. Then he died. What we see here, God's anger is so much that he will wipe the world out. And if he will do that with millions of people, he's made a promise not to have cover the world and wipe mankind out with a universal flood. But I want you to know, don't be dismayed. God still uses local area floods to conquer his problems. He will use a tsunami. He will use a hurricane. He will use whatever he needs to do in order to wipe folk out. But he will not do a universal flood. He will not kill all mankind as he did before and wipe the slate clean again. We will find out that the next time when God comes to bring judgment on this world, it will be through fire and brimstone. Hope, trust, and pray that this lesson has blessed you as you see that God's anger is nothing to play with. We have experienced God's anger in Adam and Eve and their experience in the Garden of Eden. We have experienced God's anger in the sons Cain and Abel, and how God deals with Cain for killing his brother Abel. We have seen that God's plan is not thwarted, and he brings forth Seth. We see that there is a godly line, which is Seth's progeny, and we see that Cain's progeny, although very industrious, is also populating the earth. And then there becomes an intermingling of the two lines. And God calls the intermingling of the two lines wickedness, because it's corrupt. There's not a pure line again. God wants to keep his people pure, but somehow we always find ourselves trying to become more contaminated than what we are. So God says, man is corrupt, my spirit will not always be with him, and God wipes the entire world out, everyone that's breathing, that's not an aquatic animal, male and female, cattle, livestock, creeping things, beasts of the earth, right, and mankind. He wipes out except for eight souls. And the animals that were on the ark. He lands that ark in Turkey on Mount Ararat. They exit the ark. Noah builds an altar. He worships God. It's important that man worships God. God smells the clean worship. He smells the worship, and he is so excited. And then he makes a covenant with Noah that he will not wipe mankind out again in the same manner. What I want you to do is continue to understand that it's important that we don't raise the dagger from the back of God's proverbial neck, because God does get mad, and we would rather have God smile on us. Have a great day. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you tomorrow at 12:30 for Fighting Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ. Have a blessed one. God bless.